In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The example of St. Joseph of Nazareth, St. Joseph, the son of David, as he is called by the archangel, is a beautiful confession of faith. And it is a good example because the Lord our God is faithful in his mercy and compassion, in all his words and promises, the very word and promise that Joseph believed. It is a good example because the Lord our God has saved us from sin and death by his Son, the child born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Well, truth be told, and all appearances to the contrary notwithstanding, it is the Lord your God who has you and your situation and all things in his hands, in his care and keeping. Although you do have responsibilities to carry out, you are not in control of your own life nor your future. Not really, not at all. But neither are your enemies in control of you, your life, and your future, no matter how big and strong and powerful they may ever seem to be. No, the Lord your God, the maker of the heavens and the earth, he is the author and giver of life, and he is the one who governs all of creation for the sake of his church, his holy family. He rules the universe for the benefit of his people. And he accomplishes his purposes in love for the salvation of sinners by his grace and mercy and forgiveness. Not only in spite of those who oppose his will, but even through them, contrary to their own desires, he fulfills his words and promises. So too he guides and guards his faithful people, including Saint Joseph and you, by and with his word, as written by his prophets and apostles in the Holy Scriptures, and by the preaching of his law and his gospel through his messengers, his called, ordained, and sent ones, whom he sends to speak to you in his name. As he has, for example, for going on 12 years, called and sent his servant David to speak his word to you. All that he has spoken, he has fulfilled in the person of Christ Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, conceived and born of Saint Mary. As he is the Word of God made flesh, he is the accomplishment of God's good and gracious will for you and for all people. And all that he is and does as true God and true man is in accordance with the word of the Lord. So it is the season of Advent, and the Christmas story demonstrate and rehearse year after year in order that you should hear and believe in all that God has spoken through the prophets, and now in these last days, in the person of his Son. Well, again this morning, St. Matthew clearly indicates that the events in this story of the Holy Gospel are in fulfillment of the Old Testament Holy Scriptures. And that turns out to be the case even in ways that we would never have been able to guess or figure out for ourselves. In this case, for example, you'll never be able to find any specific Old Testament prophecy that says the Savior would be called a Nazarene. And the Nazarenes were a thing in the Old Testament, and there were specific rules pertaining to them, as you maybe know. Jesus wasn't one of them, at least not in the proper sense, just as he wasn't a priest from the tribe of Levi. But for all of that, in the Hebrew language, the root word for both Nazareth And Nazarene is the word for root, Nazar. It would look like N-A-Z-A-R in English letters. And it was clearly foretold in many and various ways that the Christ would be the root, the Nazar, of Jesse, from the house and lineage of Jesse's son, King David. It's interesting, although not always noticed, that Joseph, in St. Matthew's Gospel at least, is addressed and described as the son of David. And I would offer on this day that this David is a son of Joseph. And we find in him an example. Well, sure enough, our dear Lord Jesus Christ is indeed great David's greater son, the root or Nazar of Jesse, anointed by the Spirit of his God and Father to be the King of the Jews, a title given to him in his passion and on his cross, to rule and shepherd his people Israel, the sheep of his pasture, and not for Israel and Judah only, but for all those who are the children of Abraham by faith in the gospel. And yet, for all that royal dignity, that sovereignty, it is truly meet, right, and salutary that you will find this Lord and King, this King Jesus, not in the royal city of Jerusalem, but in the little burg of Nazareth. Well, he himself, the Son of God and of St. Mary, is the epitome of faith and trust in his God and Father. And to be sure, from all eternity, he is of one substance with his Father, and not only that, but of one mind and one will with his Father in and with the Holy Spirit. He is the one true God now and forever. But in his own human flesh and blood, as the true man from his conception, even in his mother's womb, he is fully devoted to God with his whole heart and mind, his body, soul, and spirit. He is perfectly faithful from the very beginning and throughout his life. His human will conforms entirely to the divine will, even to the point of his great anguish, suffering, and death upon the cross. And in this, he has been consecrated and devoted to the Lord, much as the Nazarites were dedicated to the Lord by their vows and in their obedience. So in this way, he is a Nazarite in that Old Testament sense, consecrated, devoted to the Lord, as we really find also in St. Luke's account of the presentation, such as we'll celebrate next month. In his case, it is not only for a set period of time, as it was for the Old Testament Nazarites, but with his entire body and his whole life, and with his very flesh and blood, he is dedicated and consecrated and faithful to the Lord, even unto death, even death on the cross. And as you may recall, as you maybe have already thought to yourself, it is finally on the cross that he is called the Nazarene. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, or Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. And it is only right that the word of the Lord should finally be fulfilled, especially there and then. For it is by his voluntary sacrifice that he fulfills the scriptures of the prophets and that he accomplishes the will of God for the salvation of the whole world. But his death and his burial are on the horizon, and they are anticipated already from the beginning. As, for example, in Herod's persecution, there was, after all, a reason that Joseph and the Holy Family were in Egypt to begin with. They fled from King Herod's murderous wrath. But God the Father calls his son out of Egypt. Just as he will draw him out of the Red Sea waters of his baptism in the Jordan River. And so does he finally call him even out of death and the grave. This too is according to the scriptures, just as we have confessed again this morning in the Nicene Creed. And in this resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead, God the Father calls you also out of death into life to be his beloved and well-pleasing son by adoption and by grace. He calls you by the preaching of his word to repentance and faith in his forgiveness of sins and to newness of life in Christ Jesus. He calls you, as he called Saint Joseph, to live according to his word within your vocation as a Christian and within your own proper office and stations in life. Although it is true that neither you nor your life nor your future are in your own hands, for they are in his hands, your Father's hands, it is also the case that he accomplishes his purposes in you and through you, and he cares for others, including his church on earth, by means of your faithful service. And that's true for each of you as God's people, as it is true for each of us as his pastors. Here, too, we can fruitfully consider the example of Saint Joseph, who quietly, never says a word in the New Testament Gospels. Some have conjectured that he was not even able to speak because we have no recorded word for him. I don't quite buy that. But in any case, he quietly and quickly gets up and does what the Lord has given him to do in every case that's recorded. He gets up and cares for his bride, St. Mary, and he takes care of her son, the Christ child. Now, if you stop and think about it, this is a pretty big deal. I mean, this is a huge task, and it is of such tremendous importance to everything and everyone. This is the job that God gave to this carpenter from Nazareth. God provides for the child and his mother, and he preserves their lives by the hand of his servant, Saint Joseph. He does the same for your neighbor by your hand, as you work and serve according to his word in the place where God has called you to be. And so does he call his servants of the word, his ministers of the gospel, to carry out work that, if it depended on us, it would all be for rack and ruin. That's how Luther so eloquently puts it. And yet he gives us a job to do, and so we do it. Not by our own strength, but by his grace. And so in a corresponding way, you know where and how the Lord is with you and deals with you by giving attention to his word and the ways and means that he has thereby designated. St. Matthew has made this clear and plain in his record of the infancy narratives in the way that he refers to the Christ child always with his mother. Over and over again he does this. It is the young child and his mother. Multiple times. Not only in this Holy Gospel again this morning, but already in the visit of the Magi that precedes it, as we shall hear on the Feast of the Epiphany tomorrow. This is St. Matthew's way of indicating and stressing, as Dr. Luther also stressed, that one should not look for God, nor will you ever be able to find the one true God, anywhere else than here in the flesh and blood of Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, born of Saint Mary. We confess that he was conceived and born of the Virgin in the creeds, not to honor St. Mary per se, although God himself honors her, but especially because this is how we identify and locate God for us, God with us, in the person of her Son, who is the incarnate God. And all of this is also to say that you should not look for God at all, nor will you ever be able to find Christ Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, except where he himself has indicated that he will be for you in his external means of grace, that is, in the preaching of his holy gospel, even by frail, earthly pastors, in his spoken word of holy absolution, even by frail, earthly pastors, in the washing of the water with his word and holy baptism, and in the holy communion of his own body and blood, given and poured out for you to eat and drink with your body in repentant faith and with thanksgiving. For these bodily means of grace are where and how the Lord Jesus is present and available for you and for the many. These are the lap of his Holy Mother, wherein and whereby his flesh is given to you. So you find and receive the Lord Jesus in and with his church. And as a servant of God, you are called to love and support his church on earth and his beloved children, his sons and daughters, your brothers and sisters in Christ, much as Saint Joseph was given to care for the Holy Family. That is true for us pastors in obvious ways. It is true for each of you who have the higher and holier calling of Christian, baptized into Christ. And as for Saint Joseph, so also for you, for each of us. The word of the Lord directs you in the darkness of night, in the midst of grave danger, and on paths of real difficulty. This isn't let's pretend or make believe. The world hates you as it hates the one whose name you bear. And the devil himself seeks your life more viciously than any King Herod. In the face of all that, you have only the word and promises of God to go by. And there are times when, like Saint Joseph, you are afraid of those foes who reign so fiercely in this world. The task set before you is too daunting, and yet it is too important to fail, and God will not let it fail. So get up and go. Hear and heed the word that God the Father speaks to you by his own dear Son. Remember that you and your journey, the outcome of your duties, and your destination are all in the hands of him who loves you. God has guarded the child with his mother, and so does he guard and keep you as a member of his bride, the church. He has been at work through Saint Joseph, and now he is at work in you to will and to do his good pleasure for you and for your neighbor. The guarantee and the surety is in the body of Christ Jesus, who was not only conceived and born of Saint Mary, but has been crucified for your transgressions and, yes, raised again for your justification. Out of Egypt, God has called his Son in order to bring about this great salvation for you and for all. And by and with his word in the waters of your holy baptism, perhaps at this very font, he has called even you his beloved and well-pleasing Son in Christ Jesus. And he has promised you eternal life and salvation in both your body and your soul. with those precious words and promises of God ringing in your ears and going with you from this place. Be encouraged by and emulate the good example of Saint Joseph in heeding the word that God the Lord has spoken to you by his Son. Not only in obeying his commandments, as you should, for you are surely called to live the new life in Christ throughout this new year of his grace, but above all, in receiving and believing his precious word of the gospel, whereby he forgives you all your sins. So does your God and Father call you out of Egypt and save you by his mighty deliverance, by the humility and meekness of the cross and resurrection of his Son. And so does he reveal and give to you that same Son, Jesus Christ, that you should live and abide in and with him forever. This promise is for you and for your children and for your children's children, even forevermore. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.